2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a scripture I'm looking for, and hopefully it'll come to me during the message. 2 Timothy 3:1. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 1, or chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. We're here. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'd like you now, if you'd flip over to 2 Peter, just a few pages over. If you can't find it, that's fine. I'll read it. 2 Peter chapter 3. We will read verse 4. And saying, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I need you to turn to one other location, if you don't mind. I think it would help us. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, basically not natural, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's another place in the Scripture which says, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. What I want to preach to you this morning is a title, just a simple title, and I've mentioned it to a few people earlier this week. How to stay warm in cold weather. How to stay hot for Christ in the last days. But I figured how to stay warm in cold weather will be a good title considering the expected temperatures tomorrow. I'm not talking about a physical warmth. I'm talking about keeping your heart hot for God. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit help us to speak. Help us to listen. Have your way. Remove all distractions. I'm your mouthpiece at this time. I give myself to you, Lord, and ask that you would work through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, it is imperative. It is imperative that if you and I are going to grow in the Lord, that is mature, that is develop Christian habits that bless others, that minister to others, God has to have a very affectionate spot in our heart. There needs to be a love in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is, it is very easy for this world to influence us, to affect us in a way that it dulls us, it dulls our passions for Christ, it desensitizes us for concerning the needs of those around us, and it blinds us concerning our own spiritual needs, and it cools us off concerning the zeal or the enthusiasm we once had for the cause of Christ. We must have passion. We must have a warmth in our soul if we're going to serve the Lord effectively. If we're going to make a difference amongst those we love, if we're going to make a difference where we work, if we're going to make a difference at home, in the neighborhood, in our ministries, there's got to be a heart burning for the Lord. And I'll be the first to testify that I find often my heart getting quenched, getting cooled off, whether it's by the things of this world or by the irritations of this world that I struggle with, but I'm grateful that the Word of God teaches us how to stay warm when you get cold. I want to first of all take you to Psalms chapter 39. Psalms 39. Let me say, if you do not learn how to light your own fire, you won't last long, because Sunday to Sunday is a long time. Sunday to Wednesday is a long time. And listen, as God's people, we understand the significance of getting in the house of God, hearing the preaching of God's Word, singing these songs that praise the Lord, get us thinking on things that are above, get taking our minds off the things that are of the world. I find the same struggle as anybody else does, but by God's grace, we're still standing for the Lord. But we need to be mindful that there are things in this world that cool us off. Whether it be simple irritations from people we love or from people around us, from those who don't like us, or yielding to sinful appetites, those things will cool your heart for Christ. Psalms 39, here's what David said. Verse 1, he had come to a point to where he was ready to give up. He didn't know how to deal with the situation. He said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. You ever felt like you just didn't know what to say? You didn't know how to go on? You didn't know how to respond to a certain situation? Anybody ever felt like that? You were dumbfounded. I mean, whatever occurred got you by surprise. Man, you weren't expecting that, and all of a sudden, gone. I read the previous verses for this reason, that in the last days, the effect of the cold-hearted Christians is going to lead to wicked, licentious, perverse behavior, to a departing of the faith. And God tells us that before Christ comes, there will be a great falling away. May God prevent that from happening to you and I as we hear the warnings and the instructions from His Word. We come here in Psalms 39 and we discover David has come to a position where, man, something's happened. He doesn't have anything to say. I mean, he went from one psalm where he said, I delight to do thy will. Another psalm where he said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm ready to talk, to this psalm here. I'm dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. How do you start your own fire? First thing you got to learn to do is think. The word musing there is the opposite of amuse. We go to an amusement park to enjoy leisure, to not have to think about the problems of life. We turn TV on and watch movies so that we don't have to think about all the problems. We are amused. We are letting something else do our thinking when we are amused. We let our minds down. By the way, be careful, because that's when things can be planted in your brain that shouldn't be there. But when you are musing, you are thinking on purpose. You are purposely making yourself think. And if you want your heart to be hot for Jesus, if you want your heart to be hot for God and His will for your life, if you need to rekindle the passion that maybe you once had and you've lost, you got to start by thinking. Thinking about the promises of God. Thinking about your own mortality. Thinking about how quick life passes us by. Thinking about how quick we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Thinking about how soon it'll all be over. Thinking about how the opportunities flee by one after another. Thinking about how time slips by and how much time we waste. Thinking about these things that are eternal. Thinking about spiritual things. Taking time to think, think, think. And friend, God will begin to work in your heart. As a child, I remember thinking about life. I don't know. My mom told me about God, and I guess growing up in the country, just looking up in the sky at night, seeing stars and making you think about a God in heaven, knowing there's more to life than just what you see. I mean, those thoughts prepare you to walk with God. There's no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of God worked in your heart before you got saved. And you began a thought process that brought you to Jesus Christ. And even after that, a thought process that continued to purge you and purify you and bring you to a place that you'd actually come to church on a Sunday morning when half the country's saying, no way, and many Christians find an excuse not to be here. And again, I say that with the understanding many would like to be here that absolutely can't and they shouldn't be out. But you came to church. There was a thought process behind all of that. That's musing. That is musing. David said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Now I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah. I said, if we're going to start our own fire, if we're going to stay warm in cold weather, we better learn to start our own fire. And that fire is kindled by learning to think. Think about life. Listen, I grew up as a young man who had a lot of freedom. I grew up as a young man who enjoyed leisure. I could discipline myself for the things that I enjoyed. I could get up early for football. I could get up early for basketball. But things I didn't enjoy, I struggled getting up for. God has had to do a process in my life of teaching me discipline to do things that don't always come easy. There are some people that maybe it's easy for them to pop up early, stay up late and just do what they're supposed to do, whether they like it or not. They're just regular machines. That has not come natural for me. I'm thankful for the heavenly whippings that have got me going right. But the fact is, thinking has stirred my heart for the Lord on more than one occasion. Jeremiah chapter 20, that's where I'm looking for. Jeremiah 20. Verse 9. Jeremiah come to a place in his life where he didn't want to preach anymore. He didn't want to speak anymore. People weren't listening. It seemed like his ministry was over. He probably felt like God had forsaken him. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. What we're seeing here is how he feels. God did not deceive Jeremiah. But we're seeing a man's feelings. Things have occurred that he was not expecting. Maybe he was treated differently than what he expected to be treated. He was hurt. Maybe he was wounded. He says, Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. Hey, the world's going to mock you. Sometimes people you know are going to mock you. When all is said and done, the people that are standing for Christ when the trumpet sounds are the people that learned to keep their fire burnt, learned how to start their own fire. They learned how to stay warm when everything got cold. We read on. He says, verse 8, For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. And I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You see, one of the keys to starting your own fire is meditating on the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. You may pick the book up and you may say, I didn't get anything out of it. Keep reading. Well, I didn't get into it. I don't understand it. Friend, there is plenty in here for you to understand. If you need direction concerning where to start reading, I would be more than happy to start you. I would not encourage you to start Leviticus if you've never read through your Bible. I wouldn't even encourage you to read Chronicles if you've never read your Bible. But I'm telling you, if you start in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that'll be enough to get your heart stirred and burning. You start memorizing some of the promises of God, and all of a sudden, you will find the ability to get stirred up, fired up for the Lord wherever you're at. Some of you work in places that you can't actually take your Bible out and read. Well, you can memorize it and pull out verses from the file cabinet of your brain if you've put any there. And sometimes you might say, well, I can't memorize verses. There's phrases you can memorize. And wait a minute, you can memorize your address. You can memorize your phone number. I got a feeling you can memorize verses. Jeremiah was able to keep going and keep serving because the Word was burning in his heart. How do you stay warm in cold weather? You got to learn to start your own fire. And you do that by learning how to think and learning how to meditate on the Word of God. Your prayer time will have an effect on you. There's another means of staying warm in cold weather. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, though I'm from northern Michigan, cold is cold no matter where you're from. And the only difference really is they learn to dress warm I marvel at teenagers who can go to winter camp without a winter jacket. Or people who can leave their house when it's snowy out with sandals on. We got to learn to dress warm. I want you to notice this. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is for the Christian. Look at verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. First of all, you got to take off the dirty clothes. The old flesh. See, that's not going to keep you hot for Christ when you continue to feed your flesh with alcohol or drugs or with filth on the TV or the internet. That stuff is going to make you cold. Take off the dirty, nasty, thin, threadbare clothes there and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I renew the spirit of my mind? With the Word of God. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God has a wardrobe for you and I as believers that'll keep us warm in cold weather. It's a wardrobe of righteous behavior. And as we put that wardrobe on, it'll keep you hot when everybody else is cold. I take you over to Colossians, just a few pages over. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, notice closely. Let's begin at verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. What he's saying is that new man, that new clothes, is not biased toward anybody. It recognizes that God loves everybody. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies. What kind of clothing do we need to put on? Forgiveness, mercy, patience, kindness. We need to be kind. Humbleness of mind. Don't act like something you're not. Meekness. One who rests in the ability of God does not speak highly of themselves. Long-suffering. Willing to endure problems and struggles. Forbearing one another. Sometimes, if we can't change the little irritabilities of those around us, rather than get angry and lose your temper, you got to learn to forbear. What you can't change, you forbear. If you can't remove yourself or remove them, forbear. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Love. We're to put on the love of Christ. Well, how do I do that? Follow Jesus. This simple little method, how would Jesus treat the people around me? That's not hard to figure out. There's some great advice here. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Why does God say that? Because you and I can't change everything around us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes people and situations make my heart uneasy. Sometimes people and situations give me an unrest. Sometimes little irritations. Man, just... God says, let my peace rule in your heart. Well, how do I do that? I rest in the fact that you don't have to worry about those people that you can't change. You don't have to worry about the things you can't control. All you have to do is rest in me. Rest in me. Let my peace rule in your heart. You see, we have peace with God at salvation, but we get the peace of God when we rest in His promises and His work as we're walking with Him, trying to serve Him. These are things God wants us to put on. These are things that will keep us warm in cold weather. You see, whether you feel for someone or not, God still loves them. Whether you care about the lost person that you work with or not, God still cares about them. Whether you care about the lost people at school or not, God still cares. Whether you've given up on a family member or a friend, God hasn't. Now, there may be limitations to your influence. That's all right. But you don't have to have a bitter attitude, and you don't have to let anger, and you don't have to let the uneasiness of the natural flesh rule you. You can let the peace of God rule in your heart by simply resting in the fact that God can touch them if I just stay close to Him. As long as I don't let the situation cause me to lose my testimony. I got to learn to start my own fire. I got to learn to put on righteousness. And I've discovered this. Christianity is proactive. We overcome evil with good. We're not to let evil overcome us. We're to overcome it. We're to conquer wickedness with goodness. We're to conquer hate with love. We're to conquer bitterness with forgiveness. If we have the mindset that I want to bring these people closer to Christ, everybody, whether they're lost and they need to be saved or whether they're saved and they need to walk with God, if I have that mindset, that helps me be the aggressor. That helps me play offense. And you score more points playing offense. That helps me be useful in God's hands. Am I going to get mocked? Sure. Am I going to get ridiculed? Sure. Are they going to say things that bother me? Sure. Are my weaknesses going to be exposed? Sure. Are people going to point out my flaws? Sure. The devil's an accuser of the brethren as well. But am I going to go through difficult times? Sure. But just keep your heart hot for Christ, and God is going to do His work. We need to know how to start our own fire. We need to put on the right clothing. You know, just the gloves and the boots don't cut it. We've got to have a hat, helmet of salvation. We've got to have all the armor on us. I move on. We turn to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. The right clothing, the righteousness of Christ. In 1 Timothy, anybody ever been frostbit? Okay. Anybody been outside? Now, most of you will probably say yes. Anybody been outside in cold weather to the degree that you lost complete use of your fingers? Your toes went completely numb? The blood quit circulating, didn't it? It quit circulating. in those small capillary veins, they started to seize up and blood was unable to flow. There's a way to keep the blood flowing. Exercise. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, well, I got to make sure I get my verse 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." 2 Timothy. That's what I'm looking for. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I can't believe I can't find that verse. 1 Timothy 6. Where's it at? I already found that verse. "I'm looking for, but refuse profane and vain babblings, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little." Yes. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." There's an exercise that will keep the blood flowing. The exercise of coming to church. And these all tie together. The exercise of getting up and reading your Bible. The exercise of getting alone from away from the world, from all the distractions, and spending time with the Lord. The exercise of ministering in any capacity for the Lord, whether it would be helping an individual or even taking care of his house. But these exercises will keep your heart warm for the Lord. On New Year's Day, we came through and we cleaned up after the watch night service. Got warm in here cleaning up. I resituated the chairs, and I appreciate all those that were helping us. We put all of the pouched chairs together. I don't know if anybody noticed that. But all of the chairs with pouches in the back are all together. And we put all the chairs that just had the brackets underneath them, we put them together. They fit better, and you'll notice if you look down the side that some have the lumbar and others don't. Well, I'm not always a person of details, but sometimes little things bother me. On numerous occasions I've been in here and I'd look down the row and I'd see this, I'd see lumbar, I'd see flat, and I'd see this crooked. So we fixed all that. I couldn't help but after all of it was together, just looking at it, and I thought, man, I can't wait to see this place filled. It just did something to my heart, thinking, we've invested time, and though it wasn't initially time into people, it was time in God's house, and it had an effect on my heart. It just built an anticipation of the day that God fills this house. Lo and behold, today's horrible weather. I prepared myself for that, so I'm letting the peace of God rule in my heart. But exercise, godly exercise, will keep your heart warm for Christ. You know, you can't withdraw what you don't deposit. We want joy in our Christian service. We'll deposit work. Deposit work. We want to see fruit. We got to make some deposits. So just three simple thoughts there as we conclude. How to stay warm in cold weather. Tomorrow is going to be negative 15 degrees. But that doesn't bother me, to be quite honest. What concerns me is God's people getting so out of their routine. And they fill themselves up so much with this world that their heart grows cold for the things of God. They lose their testimony. They lose their hunger and thirst for righteousness. They have no passion to do what is right. And it'll have a ripple effect on your kids. It'll have a ripple effect on your people you work with. It doesn't take long for your cold heart, your cold spiritual heart, to affect others. Man, we can undo in one day what God's been trying to do in somebody's life for years. Let's keep our hearts warm. Start your own fire. Wear the right clothes. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. And exercise. Cabin fever drives me nuts. I was in the house yesterday and I've not done anything active for a while in the sense of playing basketball, something to really work a sweat. I got up and did about 100, 200 jumping jacks and push-ups and watched the Colts win. But we've got to keep our blood, the blood of Christ, moving in our hearts. Father, work in our hearts. Work in our midst. Lord, I did the best I could. I pray that You'd help Your people. The hearts of many will wax cold. I pray that You just draw us close to You. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,